I've been looking forward to this week and this sermon series my whole life. Because today we're going to talk about one of the symbols on the coexist, and it's the third one there, E equals MC squared. And this is the week that I've been planning for so long to dazzle you with my knowledge of science and brilliance about atheism, and to show you the folly of their logic, how completely wrong they are, how they take scientific arguments and they mold them in the wrong way, and they come up with absolutely the wrong answer. And I have been working on this sermon probably for as long as I've been alive. And I've been storing away little bits of sermon illustration material. I have a file this thick. And I want to share it with you. But something happened last week that made me begin to think about this sermon in a totally different perspective. The first thing is that Islam, which I know very little about, that sermon went 30 minutes long. I know a lot about science. That sermon would be a whole lot longer. And so I said, that's not going to happen. And then, as I do in all of these things, I started to research and find out what it is, what's the core belief that atheists have. And why do they rely so hard on science? And what is it about atheism that draws those people into that particular mindset? And as the more I started reviewing it, the more I began to empathize with the atheist. Because they really are people that are trying to be intellectually honest. And when you get really right down to it, the reason why atheists are the way they are can be best illustrated by what happened last week. I don't know if you know what happened last week, but there was a storm in the Midwest, and a tornado 95 miles long cut a path 95 miles long. Tornado wasn't that long. The path was 95 miles long, and it tore apart towns. It killed people. There was like 42 people that were killed last week from the last time that we met. Now, we can sit back here and we can say, oh, that was there, it's not a big deal, it didn't happen to us, and we can be very cold and callous about it. But if you lived in the Midwest and you had a tornado that came through your property and it destroyed everything you believe in, you might actually, for a moment, think like an atheist. Because the number one thing that drives atheism is not the science. The number one thing that drives atheism is this: where is God? In the midst of suffering and tragedy and all the things that happen in this earth, God, where are you? And what was really solidifying for me is as I was reading books on atheism, I came across a quote by a guy named Sam Harris. And I want to put the quote up on the board here, up on the screen. He says, an atheist is simply a person who believes that the 260 million Americans, 87% of the population, claiming to never doubt the existence of God, should be obliged to present evidence for his existence, and indeed for his benevolence, given the relentless destruction of human beings we witness in the world each day. An atheist is a person who believes that the murder of one single little girl, even once in a million years, casts doubt upon the idea of a benevolent God. If God exists, where is he? You see, now that is the driving force behind the atheist. Because they look at the death and the destruction of this world, and they say, well, obviously the answer is this: God doesn't exist. And so that is what they believe. That is the way that they understand. When they look at the tragedy of the world, they say, God, I just can't believe that you are a loving God and that you are out there. Now, this question has plagued mankind. This question about the existence of God has been around for a long, long time. And it ends up being kind of a dichotomy, because you can say, well, God wasn't involved in the tragedy, right? That was something else. Well, then you step back and you say, well, if he's an all-powerful and all-knowing and all-loving God, why does he allow the tragedy to exist? And when you start to look at it, you really can't come up with a very good answer. And all of the religions of the world, all of them have looked at the existence of evil and have tried to figure out where is God and why does he let evil exist? And the atheist, they come up with the answer that, well, God must not exist. Now, there's a problem with that. There's actually two problems with that. But one of the first problems with that is that it's not an easy sell. You say, well, atheism's been around forever, but no, it hasn't. In our Old Testament lesson, we said the fool believes there is no God. And you can say, aha, that's proof that the Old Testament people had atheists. But they didn't. Because if you look at that passage, what they're saying is the fool is a person who lives his life as if there's no God, as if there will be no judgment day. But throughout time and throughout history, people have always believed that there's God. Even Socrates, the quote-unquote father of atheism, believed in gods. Believed in something outside of this world. He just didn't believe that the Greek pantheon was the right set of gods. And he was persecuted for it. But throughout time, people have believed that there's a God. I mean, there's always been a belief that there's something. You look at the world around us, you look at creation, you look at us, and you say, well, how could we have come into existence if there wasn't a God? Now, when we got into the 17th and 18th century with the Enlightenment, there was a new theory that came on the ground. And that theory was called deism. And what deism was basically said that God came and he created and then he left. And the reason why there's so much evil in the world is because God's no longer watching after the world. And you think, well, that's a great solution. Well, it wasn't a great solution. It still had its problems. And what happened was it wasn't until the advent of one particular philosophy where it was able to create a true atheism that says God doesn't exist. And that was the philosophy of Darwinian evolution that came out by Charles Darwin. Because when Darwin said that there was an alternative method, an alternative path for life to come out of nothing, then we as a society began to doubt whether or not God existed. And the people who began to doubt whether or not God existed, all of a sudden now they had something that they could latch onto and hold onto and say, that is what I believe. It was through random selection. It was through survival of the fittest. That is how life came to be as it is that we've known. And it created a pathway for atheism to really take hold. And so now we have this movement. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's called New Atheism. And basically what they say is that through science, through study, through looking at all the world, we can come up with a path that shows that God didn't necessarily have to create everything. And that's what they're holding on. But it's not necessarily because of the science. It's because they can't deal with the problem of evil. What do you do with the problem of evil? There's another problem with atheism, and atheists know this. As a matter of fact, atheist philosophers have been debating this for about 150 to 200 years. And that is this. If there is no God, then is there really a concept of evil? If there is no God, is there really a concept of evil? Dostoevsky said, without God, then anything is possible. If there is no God, then who's to say there is no such thing as evil? Who's to say evil exists? I mean, you look in the wilderness, and you see the gazelle feeding at the watering hole, and all of a sudden the crocodile comes out and grabs the gazelle and drowns it and eats it, and that's the natural order of things. That's the way it works, folks. And atheists have been struggling because if there truly isn't a God, then who's to say that anything that mankind does is evil? Who's to say that any young girl who was killed just wasn't fit enough and maybe we're making room for somebody else that is fit enough to take her place? Think about it. It's not a very strong leg to stand on, and they know it. But it doesn't answer the question as to why evil is in the world, and every religion across the world has had to deal with the question of why is there evil. And I will present to you this morning that while all of the religions have looked at it, there is one religion that actually kind of has an answer to what that religion is. And I posit to you this morning that that one religion is the religion of Christianity. I want to turn this morning to our reading, our epistle lesson reading, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And I want you to listen to what he writes. He says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." The answer, according to Paul, to everything that he preached all the time with regardless to anything was what? That Jesus Christ came and was crucified. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with evil? It has everything to do with evil. Because if you don't look, if you don't know that God exists, if you look at this world, it's a pretty bad place. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of bad things that happen. And yet, in Christianity, what is it that we believe? We believe that Jesus Christ, from God, came to this earth to be a part of this evil earth, to be a part of our humanity, to walk among us, to suffer. He wasn't some great king, some guy with all this stuff. He was a man that suffered as you and I suffer. And he went to the cross. And the night before he went to the cross, in the Garden of Eden, he said, "Lord, please take this cup from me. I can't take this. I can't take the pain." And he was sweating drops of blood. And yet he still accepted the cup that his Father gave him, and he went to the cross, and he died for you and for me. Now, that doesn't necessarily explain why there's evil in the world, and surprisingly, the Bible is not very open about it. I mean, it gives a lot of stuff. You can't say for sure why God is allowing evil in the world, but what you can say for sure is that Christ understands evil, that Christ cares, that Christ came and lived among humanity. You might not know why, but you cannot say that God doesn't care about his creation, because God does care about his creation. He proved it by coming and being a part of his creation. The atheists don't have that. All the other religions don't have that. Only Christianity has a God who loved his creation so much that he came and became a part of creation and became a part of the suffering and became a part of the narrative of the story. I was listening to a sermon by a guy from Redeemer Church, and he told a story about one night he had a nightmare. And in the nightmare, somebody had come in and killed all his family. And he says it was such a striking nightmare that he woke up in a cold sweat, and he looked around, and all his family was there. But he said he couldn't spend the whole entire rest of the week not looking at his family and appreciate them every single minute for who they were and that they were still alive and they were there. And he used that illustration to say maybe one of the reasons why there's suffering in this world is because someday on the last day when we are rising again and we were with Jesus forever, we'll remember what it was, and heaven will be so much sweeter because we'll know that it's not that anymore. But we really don't know why there's evil in the world. And a lot of us, we say, well, I don't have to worry about that. I mean, that's something that other people worry about. But there will be times in your life. There will be times in your life when things happen to you that completely cut you to your core. There will be events that come into your life and you will doubt the existence of God. You'll say, God, if you're up there, why are you letting this happen? Where are you, God? How can I even know you exist? But it's in those moments that we cling to Jesus Christ and we say, God, I don't know why this is happening, but I know that you became flesh and lived among us and dwelt with us, and you understand what I'm going through. About 2.5 years ago, I lost my niece. And I've not talked about this in a sermon before because it's so close to me. And I wasn't sure I'd be able to get through it. But when you lose somebody close to you, someone that you adore, you become an atheist. at some level. You say, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand why you're causing this suffering and this pain in my life. But it's that suffering and pain that draws us to the cross. It's that suffering and pain that we realize that God lost his one and only son. God understands. We don't know why evil is there. Maybe someday, you know, we'll never know on this earth. Someday we'll rise again at the last day and we'll be in the presence of God and we can say, why? Why did you allow it? And God will say, this is why. And we'll see the plan before us. But right now, it just looks like a lot of pain and suffering. I feel sorry for the atheists. They have a very strong intellectual argument. But I love the cross of Jesus. Because it is there at the cross of Jesus where we can kneel and we can see that all the pain and the suffering someday will be enveloped by his love, and we will live with him forever. In his name.